Well, are you ready for the word? Turn your Bible. Yeah, come on. Come on. Turn your Bibles over to Ezekiel chapter 35. It was my day to be with my little angels this week at school or at home. And they were at their desk, and I was sitting in there with them. By now, they know exactly what they're doing. Don't need a lot of help. Thank you, Jesus. And because I was beginning to worry about that TK. You know that movie, Are You Smarter Than a Second Grader? I was just worried about the TK. But anyway, now they know what they're doing. And so I was sitting in there reading, and Ain said, Nana, I thought you said you didn't have to study. They love it when I don't, you know, you're with us, in other words, you're with us. I said, oh, baby, I'm not studying. I'm just reading for myself today. I'm just reading my Bible because I want to. And I thought, well, you know, I'm reading my Bible again through, and I started in February, and I just felt that morning that I didn't want to read where it was time to read for that day. I thought, no, I'm just going to move over, and I just opened over to Ezekiel and turned back a few pages. You know, I mean, when somebody says, what is the book of Ezekiel? It's very easy for us to say, oh, isn't that where the Valley of the Dry Bones is in Ezekiel? We may not know what's there, but you know the Valley of Dry Bones is there. Or maybe isn't that where he is the wheel in the middle of the wheel? You know, Ezekiel saw that big vision, Pastor, wasn't that it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But very few times do we turn on in and read the things around it for the people of God. But as I was reading this, I felt the Spirit of the Lord beginning to deal with me all week on it. Now, I could keep you here until next week today if you would stay, but you probably wouldn't stay. Bertha Hearn taught me years ago. She said, now, Pastor Paulette, when I was a young woman, Sunday school teaching, she said that people can only take, or people will only take what their seat can endure. So I learned that when your seat is finished enduring, I may as well let you go. So I promise I won't do that. But let's look over to Ezekiel 35, and I promise you I'll try not to get bogged down here. Lord Jesus, help me. There's just so much here. But I guess what I want to tell you today is God just plain keeps his word. And if he says it, he will do it. If he prophesied it, he will fulfill it, period. And he is who he says he is. And so today I'm going to call my message. I have never heard this preached on ever in my whole life. Never. I haven't seen it. So I knew that God was working something in this. I'm just going to call it sticks and bones. Sticks and bones. Don't get it mixed up with what we've heard all of our life, but sticks and bones. Of course, we'll talk about the Valley of Dry Bones for just a tad. That's not where I want to go. But at passing through it, I need to mention it while we're on this journey. All right, we're going to read just a little bit of what God told Ezekiel to prophesy in 35 and 1. And the word of the Lord came to me and said, O son of man, excuse me, I'm reading from the NIV today. So if you're in your phone and you want to flip over to NIV, you can go with me. But that's what I had. It took with me to their house, so that's why I'm reading from NIV today. But it's so good. Chapter 35, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face against Mount Seir. Prophesy against it. Now, when God begins to prophesy, you do not want him to prophesy against you or your nation. And say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am stretching you. I am against you, Mount Seir, and I will stretch out my hand against you and make you a desolate waste. I will turn your towns into ruins, and you will be desolate. And you will know that I am the Lord. Now, why is he going to do that? If you want to look down, well, I'll read verse 5. Because you harbored an ancient hostility and delivered the Israelites over to the sword at the time of their calamity. The time their punishment reached its climax, there was Therefore, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will give you over to bloodshed and will pursue you. Listen now, listen. Since you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you. How many know that in America and around the world, with abortion legalized, there is blood all over this nation's hands? And he said, since you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you. And I just heard the other day, or yesterday, or you've probably heard it before, that they are selling baby parts. That's too grotesque and ugly to mention. You need to just read it all when you get home. I told you I could get bogged down here because there's so much. Verse 9. I will make you desolate forever. Your towns will not be inhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Just like when they nailed Jesus to the cross, remember that one soldier? He just said, surely this was the Son of God. Boy, have we goofed up. God said, you're going to see my hand. Verse 10, because you have said, these two nations and countries will be ours, and we will take possession of them. Even though I, the Lord, was there, Israel was not your nation to take over. Now, I'm speaking to you from the Lord this morning, and I will say this. Allow these two, as I heard the Holy Spirit, God hears and he sees. Amen? He hears and he sees what the leaders of other nations say. And he said, you have said about these two nations, let me say it, Israel and America, you have said they will be ours and we will take possession of them. Even though, he said, even though I was there, and that's my country, and that's not up to you. As surely as I live, says the Lord, I will treat you in accordance with, listen, with the anger and jealousy you showed in your hatred of them. And I will make myself known among them when I judge you. People, today there's many, many, many on the left, on the liberal side that despise and hate. If there was a perfect hatred, but you cannot put perfect fear and perfect hatred together because that's an oxymoron. But if you could, it would be perfect hatred. Because they are jealous of God's people, they are jealous of Israel. Because they are so prosperous and so blessed and so intelligent, there are so many good things and amazing things about Israel, and their military is so absolutely powerful, he could wipe out all of those that come against them just like that. We were there, and we heard how people, nations, send their diamonds to Israel to be cut. They say nobody can cut a diamond like Israel. Our tour guide said, you guys think that your iPhone people, get up here and forget names, and was his name Steve Jobs, Microsoft? Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, all the big boys, you think that they created with their own intelligence? No, it started here in Israel. We built the very first. In most of these things, Israel built first, and not too many people know that. And they've been despised then, and they're despised now. And I'm going to tell you, God does not like it. He didn't like it then, and he doesn't like it now. And so he said, but you'll see my hand. Chapter 36, see, God sees what the enemy says, even in your life, even to your marriage, even with your children, even in your home, in your pocketbook, in the church. God does not like it when the enemies of hell come against his people. You might say, then why does he let them get by with it? Can I assure you today, he does not let them get by with it. They may for a while, and the only reason they do is so they might have time to turn back to him and his goodness. That's the only reason. I think it was John Lake that said people that are still here on earth that curse God to his face and shake their fists at him. He said if they only knew that every day of their life that they walk and every night that they sleep, he said they are standing on a lacy cloth against hell. And hell's mouth is wide open with flames to receive them. But they're walking on lace across hell and don't even know it. What's that called? It's called the grace of God. My mother said, when the drunk men hit our car, taking the lives of Rick and Jamie, Mama said, why would God allow that? Rick and Jamie were holy and a man of God and a perfect little girl. Why would he allow it? And I said, Mama, one of the drunk men died and the other one lived. The driver passed and the other one that was on drugs and alcohol, he was living. He lived. And she said, how come he didn't go and Rick and Jamie lived? I said, I don't know, Mom. I don't have the answers to any of that. None of it. All I know is I have somebody bigger than all of it who can take care of me and take care of it. But one thing I know, he gave that drunk man who lived, gave him a little more grace. He loved him enough to give him grace that maybe you'll get right and I won't put you in hell today. Or you won't put yourself there. Well, I was going to read to you what God said to the enemy. Look at chapter 36 and verse 2. Now, this is what the sovereign Lord says, Ezekiel said. He's prophesying again. Chapter 36, verse 2. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The enemy said of you, of Israel, aha! The ancient heights have become our possession. Therefore, prophesy and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because they have ravaged and they've hounded you from every side, so that you became the possession of the rest of the nations and the object of people's malicious talk and slander. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. This is what the sovereign Lord says to the mountains and the hills. He said, I have heard what the enemy said to you, Israel. I've watched how they've surrounded you every day, and I've watched how they've ravaged and hounded you. I heard the Spirit of the Lord saying that people would be right here in this room today that have been hounded and hounded and hounded by the devil. He slanders you and he talks about you to you. He talks to me about me. Any ugly, hateful, negative, evil, downgrading, good for nothing thing that he will say about you, that's what he will talk to us about. And you know that, don't you, church? He won't waste his time telling you how wonderful you are. Jesus said it once when he died for us. And then there's plenty of word about it, but somehow the devil will distract us from this and put us over to listening to all this. But if we don't put this in, then we're going to have a problem when this comes. But God said, I heard the slander and I saw it, but I want to talk to you. And these people did clear out Israel. Now, look down at verse 8, though. Here's the good news. Now, I'm talking to you right now about sticks and bones, and we'll get there in just a minute. This is rehearsal right here. Everything that I'm reading, you know this, most of you. Verse 8, but you, O mountains of Israel, you, O people of America, not all of you in America, but the remnant, but the people of God, those of you that walk in his favor every day, you follow him, you're obedient to him, you love him with all of your heart, and yet you're still aggravated by the enemy of your soul. There's still hard things that come our way. There's still things to deal with. But he said, but you, I'm talking to you people of Israel. God must have said, I'm tired of talking to all of these enemies against you. But then he says, let me tell you something about you. But you, O mountains of Israel, you will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor, and you will be plowed and sown. He says, I'm concerned about you. Isn't that good, Dwayne Rose, to know that he's concerned about us? He's concerned about you. He's concerned about me. He says, no, I'm concerned about you, and I'll look on you with favor. And I, verse 10, and I will multiply the number of people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. Towns will be inhabited. Let's go down to verse 12. I will cause people, my people Israel, to walk upon you, and they will possess you, and you will be their inheritance, and you will never again deprive them of their children. And now he's talking to the mountains that surround Israel. He says, you're going to be so blessed. See, not only did God love the people of Israel, and the 12 tribes come out of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that Jacob. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel. And the 12 tribes of Israel were the 12 sons of Jacob. And he says, I will bless you when you will inhabit this land. And you will come back to it. And you will have more than plenty. But go up to verse 16 of the same chapter 36. Verse 16, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the people of Israel, now listen, he says, now church, remnant, people of God, I know you are not perfect. He says, I know you have faults. They have faults, and I'm destroying them, not for their faults, but because of what they've done. They've turned away from me. They've rejected me, but they've rejected you. Now he talks to the people seriously again. Verse 16, again, the word of the Lord came to me, said, Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct and their action. Well, their conduct was like a woman, well, we'll leave that, monthly uncleanness in my sight. So I poured out my wrath on them because they shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. He said, Israel, you got in trouble. Because he said, you defiled your land with your idols. You did whatever you wanted to do. Look at verse 20. And they went among the nations, and he said, you profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, these are the Lord's people. And yet they have had to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name, which was the house of Israel, profaned among the nations where they had gone. See, we're living in a day where you can work at work with another believer, and you work with them for 10 years, and they say, oh, I didn't know you went to church. Oh, my gosh, you know, they go to church, and I didn't even know it. Why not? Because they act just like each other. There's no change. I watch the same movies you watch. I go to the same places you go. I talk just like you do, slam a hammer on my finger, and I'll say the same word you say. Oh, well, we won't elaborate on all that. But he said, you've profaned my name. One day, I'll say he was a man of God. He was a man of God. But when he sat in my office that day and he was so upset that he had paid somebody in the church to paint something for him. And by the way, Sal, your painting in that building is beautiful. Thank you for the work you did in the youth building. If you look out there today and see it's been painted, it's just beautiful, Sal. Thank you. By the way, they're getting married in about a week and a half. So this isn't the painter I'm talking about that I had to sell that because. So this man comes into the church. He hires a man in the church to paint his house. And so he goes on a cruise, and when he came home, the house was half done, but he had paid this guy everything and then couldn't get him back to work for him. So he's sitting in my office, putting this brother down and pounding on him, and the guy should have went back, okay? But I said, you shouldn't have paid him everything you owed him. Number one, most people have the wisdom not to pay until the job's done. So anyway, he said, well, all I want is my money, Pastor, and he pounded my desk. And I said, I'd appreciate it if you don't do that again. And he pounded it again, And he said, I want my so-and-so money, and he used God's name in vain. Now, this is a man. I just said, you know what? Look, I am not God, and I forgive you for that because Jesus forgives. But you know what bothers me the most is you didn't know better than to use God's name in vain. That's what hurts me. Why didn't you know better? So whatever in the head will come out of the mouth, and it may be hidden for a long, long time, but there will come a time when it starts coming out and you can't control it anymore, and that's where that guy had gotten. So he said, Israel, I've watched you lose control of yourself, and you've lost some things. So he said, but here's what I'm going to do, Israel. And I love it because God says, it's not because of you, Israel, but he said, it's because of me. He says, I'm going to take you out of the nations, and I'm going to gather you back from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. It's what I'm going to do for you, Israel. I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to deliver you out of that mess. And I'm bringing you home because I love you. See, remember when he said, I'm concerned about you? God gets concerned when he watches us take a detour. Now, if God sees you going up to Eagle Mountain, he gets very concerned about you. Because you were running off to the world to take a chance that you just might get blessed. No, it's not called blessing. That Satan might have a little time with you. And he might give you a little. Still not going to call it a blessing. But the people of God have no business on that mountain. And I pray if you go up there, somebody will tell on you. And then what are you going to do? Nothing. But God does. God says, I'm concerned about those kind of things. We have no business, church, running with the world, talking with them, acting like them, having fits like they have. But God said, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to bring you out of that mess. And that's the good news for us today. I don't care where you are, what you've done. He said, I want to bring you out. And I love it that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is bringing that up. Pastor knows that's necessary. And if you've got an issue with that, please don't be ashamed to go. And don't say, well, if I go, somebody's going to think. No, just go and learn. I'd like to go just to have a class here, maybe. So I'm going to take you out of it. And look at this in verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. And I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. If you're hard-hearted, he said, I'll take that old hard heart out. I will do that. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to follow my laws. You will live in my land. And oh, he just goes on how he's going to bless them. But did you see something there? They didn't ask for his help. They did not even ask him. He says, I love you that much. You are my people, and I love you, and I'm going to bring you out of that lifestyle, and I'm going to bring you over here, and I am going to cleanse you. What does that remind you of? 1 Peter 1:9, you say, Pastor, you're reading a bunch from the Old Testament. Don't you know we're under grace? This is only a shadow of what is in the new. 1 John 1:9, he says, oh, you just come to me. And you just tell me I'm sorry. You just come and I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I will wash you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's just a sign of the New Testament fulfillment. Verse 33, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. On that day I will cleanse you from all your sins. New Testament, I will remember your sins no more. I won't, and I don't want you to. Did they ask him? No. But he said, I'm going to help you because I love you. Oh, and then he goes on, in verse 35, this land that was waste has become like a garden. It is. I mean, Israel, in 70 years, you should see it. You should see Tel Aviv. You should see Nazareth. You should see the places where Jesus was born. They're huge and mighty cities. The Mediterranean still flows in the Red Sea. Oh, they're all in the Dead Sea. They're all still there. But houses and homes and condos and beautiful buildings. And the hotels? You think the casinos are gorgeous? You should see these. God's people. Everything he said he would do, he said, I will make their people as numerous as sheep. And they are. And people travel from around the world. Nazareth has 900,000 people now. And people come from around the world to see it. So then what happened? Okay, this is all Bible prophecy. And then he said, Ezekiel, come with me. And he got him by the hair of the head and he brought him over. What do you see? Oh, God. I can hardly tell you what I see. It's a valley. It's a big valley. Porterville's a valley. It may have been looking like the entire valley of Porterville without homes, just a desert. And it was full of dry bones. All unattached. They had been there for years and years and years, dried up. God, I see dry bones. Do you believe they can live? Oh, God, I don't know, but you only know that they can. And then the Bible says they heard a rattling. Oh, look at this. Have I seen it here? This valley was full of dry bones. Verse 4, 37 and 4. Then he said, prophesy to those bones. Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. And then he said, I'll put breath in them, and I'll put sinew, and I'll put skin on them. And then he says, prophesy again. And the wind blew, and they heard the wind blow. And he said, there was a rattling of the bones. God uses bones, and he uses sticks. And I'll show you the sticks in a moment. But here he's using the bones. And he said, prophesy to them. And I tell you today, let me read that word to you one more time. Verse 5. No, verse 4. Look at this. Verse 4. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's what I want you to remember today. You're not talking to dry bones, but if you need to talk to your children, if you need to talk to your money, if you need to talk to the doctor's report, you say, listen to me. Listen to me, sickness. Hear the word of the Lord. By his stripes I am healed. Hear the word of the Lord, my husband. Hear the word of the Lord, my daughter. Hear the word of the Lord. You shall be saved. You are bought by the blood of Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord, lack. I'm tired of poverty. I'm tired of lack. And we shall have more than enough, saith the Lord of hosts. Speak to it, church. Prophesy. I believe that's what's wrong with the church. We have not been prophesying to the things that we need to prophesy to. Prophesy to America. You prophesy to that Senate. You will not pass HR, whatever it is, the Equality Act. It's a lie. Oh, hear me. Equality Act. I prophesy to you, hear the word of the Lord, Equality Act. We not only have a constitution, but we have a Bible. And we will not permit, and we will not submit to you. We will not bow, and we will not burn. Come on, church. That was a valley of dry bones, probably looking a lot like America and some of the church. And God said, I'm concerned about my church. I'm so concerned. God puts power in bones. Do you remember the story of, losing my thoughts right here, was it Joseph, where they threw him in the tomb and they threw the dead man in there? He was buried there and they threw the dead man in, and the man got up and he only laid down on those bones. Power in those bones, in dead bones. There's no power. I should say Jesus has power in everything. But there's power in Jesus' blood. But in Hebrews, he said, man, I cut clear down into the intents of the heart, dividing. I divide even asunder the bone and the marrow. There is power in your bones. There's power in the blood because of Jesus. And he said, my church, I speak to you and I say to you, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy to the things that torment you. And prophesy to your nation. Prophesy to your president. prophesy when they say, Mr. Jerry Nadler, I prophesy to you. You say God's will doesn't belong in this room, in this Congress. Mr. Nadler, I prophesy to you that God's word will be everywhere and anywhere it wants to be, anytime it wants to be. That's where God's word will be. I dare you to try to hold it out. Ah, this nation is rising up, church. The body of Christ is rising up. I hear you all and I see you coming out of things. I'm seeing you begin to come out. And you're beginning to wonder why, what's going on in my life. Things are stirred up, Pastor. Things are stirred up. Things are coming up I haven't had to deal with in years. That's God saying, I'm bringing you back. I've watched you and I've been concerned, but that's over. I'm putting you into a new place. All right, let me go on. And then he says to the dry bones, "Woo! Prophesy, come from the four winds. Breathe into these slain that they might live." And he says, Ezekiel says, "So I prophesied as he said, and breath entered them, and life came to them, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army." A vast army. Just old dead bones. Dry bones. But he said, breathe. What does that remind you of in the New Testament? You say, that's old. Yes, it is. In the New Testament, it said there was a dry church. They were a hurting church. They didn't know what to do kind of church. And they were in the upper room. And their Messiah, their King, the Lord Jesus Christ, had just been nailed to the cross by some evil men. They thought it was over. They thought it was done. We're had. We don't even know now what we're going to do without him. But it said there was a wind that blew in that upper room. And there was a rattling and they heard the wind. And it wasn't this wind that came on those bones. But it was wind that came on the bones and the blood and the people of God. And it began to blow. And there were 500 there. But when the wind came, there was only 120 left in that room. The others had departed. They got tired of waiting, church. Don't get tired of waiting. Don't get tired of waiting. The wind blew and the Holy Ghost came. And the church hasn't been the same. It's been over 2,000 years now. 2,000 years, and God's ready to do something else. The bones that you need to speak to in your life, there's still an anointing for every bone that is harassing you. Every dry bone in your life. Well, Pastor, I'm so dry. Yeah, we all get that way. But I'm telling you, prophesy the wind. D, where's my stick? Here they are. All right, let me show you this. Look at 37 verse 15, changing the subject. Here's where I wanted to go. You say, time's up, Pastor. Oh, stay with me. All right, 37 and 15. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelite associated with him. Okay? So he says, take a stick. And I want you to write Judah and the Israelite associated with him. And then take another stick of wood and write on it Ephraim's stick, belonging to Joseph and all the house of Israel associated with them. And then he says, join them together into one stick so that they become one in your hand. So I've asked thee to come and put a little glue. So he says, we're going to glue together both Ephraim and the people of Judah. By the way, Judah means, is that open? Okay. Just right here. Right in the center. All I need you to do is just have it. Oh, that's all right. Thank you. So he said, I want you to put them together so they become one in your hand. And when they ask you what that means, you take the stick of Joseph and you take the stick of Judah and you put them together because I'm putting them back together. Now, Judah, that was a young son of Jacob. That was one of the tribes and it meant the house of bread. Judah was also praise, right? Judah meant praise. He said, now, there's some praisers. See, Judah was down in south, like the south part of Israel. And Joseph's anointing was up in the upper part. And so here we go. He says, I'm bringing praise, Judah, and I'm going to take Joseph. You know about Joseph. Joseph was a son that was in a prison all those years. And while he was in prison, remember, he just kept coming out. You couldn't keep a good man down. And he was provision for Egypt. He was the provision in the great famine. He became a voice of provision, and the Pharaoh hired him. He was second man in the nation. And God blessed Joseph because of his trust and his faith in God. He never lost his trust, though he was in a dungeon for 12 years. He was sold as a slave. He was beaten on the back to work. And yet he trusted God. God said, listen, I'm going to bring these people, have prayed, but it's been rough down there in southern Israel, and it still is. But he said, I'm going to put you both together in the last hours of the last days, and when I put you together, something is going to happen to you guys. Look at this. And you join it to Judah's stick, join Ephraim's hand, Joseph's stick, and Judah's stick, making them a single stick of wood, and they will become one, God says, in my hand. Now, right now, they're one in my hand, Ezekiel's hand, but he said, there'll be one in my hand. And this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will gather them back from everywhere, and I will make one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. Listen, there will be one king over them. They will only have one king. How many kings do you and I have in the church, folks? What's his name? We've got one king. Now, their king is going to be David. In the last days, in the millennial reign, David will be the king, but Jesus will sit on the throne. David will be like a prince, but he will be the king under Jesus. Now, look, in verse 23, it says, they will no longer defile themselves with idols and vile images or with any offenses, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding. I want to tell you, backslider, if you're in the house or at home, you may as well get your bags packed because you're coming back home. You're coming home because God's going to draw you out of the world. Just like he did Israel. He's drawn us out. He said, I've had it. I'm going to cleanse them. They'll be my people and I will be their God. I'm going to take away their idols and their vile images. Those that were spending their time looking on the internet at things they shouldn't have looked at. Those that were doing things hidden in the dark. He said, all of those things, that sinful backsliding, I'm going to deliver you from that. And I will cleanse them. And a holy generation will rise up, a peculiar people, a holy nation. Hallelujah. A group of kings and priests. And then here it is, verse 24. And my servant David, he will be the king over them. And they will have one shepherd. How many shepherds do we have? What's his name? And we get that out of the book of John. That's New Testament. Again, it's that Old Testament type and shadow. But we have the shepherd over us is Jesus. He is our king. And he says they will have in real life, in our future, and I'm bringing this down to us today in America, they will have one king, one shepherd, and they will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. David will be their prince forever. How long will Jesus be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And look at verse 27. This sounds like we're reading New Testament. Look at verse 27. And my dwelling place will be with them, with us, with the church. I will be their God and they will be my people. And then the nations will know that the Lord makes Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them. I will be their God and they will be my people and they will be my dwelling place. What's 1 Corinthians 3:18 say? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Verse 16. We are the temple. And then he says in 38 and 7, get ready, be prepared. And all the hordes about you. He said, church, listen, you get ready and hordes out there, you all get ready. You've been out there slamming the church and slamming conservative ideas and the Judeo-Christian values we were founded on. Hordes, you get ready because judgment's coming. But church, you get ready because my glory's going to be seen upon you. Holiness will return. And he said, I'm pulling you back. All right, I close with this. Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. You got to see this. Talking about sticks and bones. You saw what God could do with bones. See, we're the bones that were raised up. We're still 2,000 years later. Those bones are still sitting here talking. You and I witness. We love him. We talk to him every morning, every night, and during the day. We're still talking to him. Because this happened. A covenant happened. Provision with Joseph and Judah with praise. We praise him. When you put praise, you've got provision. I mean, it just comes together. One stick. We know what he did with bones. We're still here. But see what else he did with stick. New Testament, you want to see it? Pretty much today, you better bring out some New Testament when you're talking old. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, therefore remember that formerly, Paul speaking, your Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember, verse 12, remember that at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in the world. Now, at this time, the division wasn't with Israel and Israel's enemies. It was between the Jew and the Gentile. And the Jews acted all uppity because they were first in line with God. They knew they were God's chosen. So they acted and they treated the Gentiles as nobodies, as less than dogs. And Paul said, now all of that has changed because of what Jesus Christ did. Remember, he said, there was one time when you Gentiles, you were separated from him. You were way out there. So don't get all proud now, but remember where you came from. For he himself, verse 14, he himself is our peace, who has made the 2-1 and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. Man, when you're used to New King James, Old King James, and then trying to read NIV, it's not easy. All right. So, he says, now he himself is our peace. If we'd read a little farther down there in Ezekiel chapter 37, we would have seen that they have a prince of peace, a prince of peace. We didn't read that, but it's there. And here it says, he himself is our peace. Who is our prince? How many princes do we have? Queen Elizabeth had one prince. Well, actually, she's got a few with her sons. But Prince Philip died the other day. And I prayed for that dear old soul, married to him 77 years, sitting in that big old, with Westminster Abbey or one of those huge cathedrals, sitting there by herself. And I said, I don't care if she is a queen. Her heart hurt. She had a physical prince. We have a spiritual prince and one that stands beside us forever. He is our peace, who has made the 2-1 and has destroyed the barrier and the dividing wall. So I have Jesus and the church, but I could have had Gentile and Jew. Because Jesus said, look, I'm giving my life, and there's not going to be one over here called a dog and somebody over here my child. He said, I'm getting ready right here. Paul said he's already done it. He done it at the cross. He brought the Jews and the Gentiles together. And no longer, because Jesus has become our prince. Here's the church, but we died on that cross with him. Come here, Dee, give me a little glue right here. Come on, you ought to be shouting right now. Let's see, where are we at, Dee? Are we on the right side? Okay. There we go. for he himself is our peace. Who made the two, he made the two one. Church and Jesus one. The church and Jesus, Jew and Gentile one. And he does not like division in your home. He doesn't like husband over there and wife over here. You have to be one. He said it's the only union that I use as an example of my church and the bride is the husband and the wife. And if you're wondering why the devil fights your marriage so hard, it's because he knew that that was the example that would be in the last days of Jesus' love for his bride. So he said, I'm pulling down, listen now, I'm going to take down barriers in the last days. Anything that has separated you from God, he said, I want it out of your life. If there's anything in your mind, in your heart, any sin, Hebrews said, that does so easily beset you. If something just tears you up and tears you down, he said, because of this, because I made the two one, I am going to tear down the barriers and the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing even the law behind you. And listen, verse 17, he came and preached peace to you. You, us who was far away, and peace to those who were near. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives. A place, a dwelling place where God lives in your spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We are one with him, the Prince of Peace. Come on, church, let's stand on our feet and worship him. Ah, oh, we praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. The church lifts up a praise. And Jesus says, I hear you. And I got you. And I'll be forever with you. Lord Jesus, you have heard today and you have seen and you have watched. You are watching America. And I'm going to bring it home, Lord, bring it in this house, but you are watching your people. And you know those that have those hindrances and those slanders. And I'm thinking, Lord, of even Samson and Delilah. The Bible says that every day she tormented him over and over and over until he gave in. Lord, somebody in this house has been tormented over and over and over and been tempted to sin and been tempted with this and tempted with that. But you said, tell them, prophesy to them, listen to me in Jesus' name. That thing dies today as God draws you close. He draws you near and let him pull down that wall of separation, that barrier between you and Jesus, that barrier between you and your husband or you and your wife. That barrier, whatever it is that's tormenting your spirit right now. I'm not going to give a specific call right now. But I'm just going to call the body of Christ, the church, to just come down and make an altar. There's altars all along the side here. Would you come and just talk to the Lord and just say, Lord, I don't want any barrier. I don't want any hostilities in me. Come on, church. Come right now. Don't wait for the first person. Everybody just come if you will. You can stand in prayer if you kneel or you want to sit on the steps. Just come and get a place. Just step out. God knows us all. He knows us all. Come on. Come on. Come on. Kodalabasidalabaha. I bless you and thank you for watching today. I thank you for watching. You can kneel and pray with us at your house. But today we're just seeking God's glory as one. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.